This call is being recorded.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
There is Tomáš, Karel, and public here, right?
Yes, I'm at unknown color today.
Yeah. Well, I guess we don't need to wait any longer. Let's just get started. Karel, would you mind scribing today, since you haven't scribed for a while?
Okay.
Cool. Thank you. So this week we basically have a whole list of follow-ups on action items. The first one on the agenda is issue 134, adding already existing resources as collection members. Here's a link to the GitHub issue in IRC. I saw that Pavlik and Tomáš already updated the GitHub issue with their findings. There was also, I think, where's my list? An action item on you, Karel. Did you have a chance to look at Jira?
Yes, I did have a chance, but I haven't published my findings yet. So I'll do this as soon as possible after the conf call. If you wish, I can just briefly introduce what's going on there, but it's up to you.
Yeah, maybe just give an update. I will scribe for you in the meantime.
So general, Confluence seems to be a bit more consistent. More or less, it uses collections as a container, so you can either post a resource to a container to add it, or you can put the whole collection to update it as a resource. And as for Jira, there are about two or three approaches, different approaches on various things, and quite difficult to organize them, honestly. Some of the examples are more like to post a resource to a container. Some of them behaves like a script. There's a resource that just accepts some parameters and just do the action underneath.
So when you say container, what exactly do you mean?
I think more of a linked data platform container, like something like this.
So since not everyone probably is familiar with that, could you just explain it in one or two sentences?
It acts like a table where you can just post a resource to add it, or you can delete it. When by deleting a resource means it's a different URL for that resource, because it appends part of the a segment to the URI of the container. And you can also put the whole collection to the container just to arrange new items or modify or patch. I don't know how to say it. So something like this, very, very primitive. And the client actually needs to understand what's going on with the URIs, how are they built.
So are you saying that, let's say I have a playlist and I want to add a video to that playlist, there is a playlist item which has a URL itself as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's similar to what we saw in other APIs, right?
Yeah. So as I said, Confluence is a bit more seems more consistent. Jira is more of a jungle. there are various approaches. I'll try to craft something, some kind of description useful that maybe will shed some more light on this. I just clearly saw how the Jira was developing itself with its API. Probably this variety of approaches is because of the, I don't know, legacy code or maybe other approaches taken by other developers. Seems like this.
Okay. Did you see any use of HTTP link or unlink?
No, I haven't.
Okay, cool. Public, do you want to go next?
Yes, sure. So I posted on GitHub, I think quite clearly how I found Vimeo working. So again, we have a case when they create a dedicated resource to represent this relationship, like relationship or subscription relationship. So it also requires kind of fiddling with like understanding your IRI patterns. So pretty much a client, as far as I understand, needs to compose the URI and then put the resource. But they don't provide any URI templates. You just kind of, the client needs to know how to compose IRI itself for the put at least. And then what I find interesting, I posted just like 15 minutes ago another two comments on the issue where we discussed if a server should update the collections when the resource is being added or removed. We can find there that when a new resource gets created or deleted to represent, let's say, like relationship or subscription relationship, it will reflect into collections because the person has list of likes and the video has list of people that like it. In similar way, the channel has list of people who subscribe to it and the person has a list of subscriptions. So by doing put or delete on the resource that represents these relationships, both of those collections will get automatically updated by the server.
Mm-hmm. But if I may, I'm not sure if this is a problem, or maybe I just don't understand the discussion on this topic. I don't think it's mandated anywhere that modifying a given resource doesn't affect any other resources. It's not like these have to be pure functions without side effects, right?
No. That's not specified anywhere. The server can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, so just bottom line, so I wouldn't go through hoops and jump through hoops to I don't know, somehow advertise this or whatever, because I don't think how it is relevant for interacting with a given resource, and then the other one is out of scope. So when we get it, we know we may know that it changed. Otherwise, well, what it is.
I mean, I think it's quite relevant because we discussed possibility of using patch on a collection, and then if we would go with a way of using patch on a collection, this way we would need to, for the case on Vimeo, patch two different collections. So if we would represent the relationship by having just a triple in a collection resource, and we want to include this kind of information in two different collections, we would need to patch two different collections. While in Vimeo, you either put or delete a single resource in a two different collections. So I'm not saying that I have a clear kind of proposal if we would add something to the spec or not. Just for now, trying to observe how it happens in different APIs and how it relates to our conversation with this issue. Because we had also, I suggested that, for example, I think Solid will use put for that, and that would behave differently because, again, we would have to update manually. The client would have to patch both collections manually.
But again, patching one collection doesn't like Marcus said, nothing stops the server from updating the other collection in the same, well, it can be like eventually consistent manner. It can do it just during this one request, but nothing's forcing the client, I mean, the design, so that the client has to patch both resources, both collections.
I think the question is, if the client wants both collections to be updated, does it need to make sure that it checks both of them and like does it for both of them, or can it somehow figure out that updating one of the two is enough because the server will take care of the other one as well?
Okay. It probably, well, after the design, but still, okay, I see. But yeah, it would be kind of awkward, you know, to on one operation advertise any possible side effects or lack thereof on other resources.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing is that. Sorry, go ahead, Babik.
Oh, that's it from my side on the Vimeo. In the other issue, again, probably no one of you have read it, I just posted, I also suggested that we may try to see how the triple pattern fragment and Hydra interfaces work on a single data set, because I've noticed that similar behavior as in the Vimeo would also happen for the triple pattern fragment. If you, for example, do Sparkle update to add the relationship to the data set, and have two, pretty much in this case, the two collections will be kind of the same triple pattern fragment, so there will be no two collections, but it will automatically kind of reflect in the triple pattern fragment because it's kind of query result on the data set. So you don't have to worry about manually updating this. But I think that's something we may want to explore in next weeks, how the kind of triple pattern fragment would fit here and how it can kind of differ what we assume about will update or not update.
Yeah, so the thing I struggle a bit is that the client probably isn't even aware of all the resources it is gonna affect. So if he wants to like affect two collections, for instance, he should like check them and update them explicitly, I feel. I think trying to express those side effects will open a whole can of worms. Or do you have a use case, Public, where that wouldn't be possible and where the client really needs to know?
I think it really depends, like, what the client would focus on. If the client kind of sees the service, the API as an interface to an underlying data set, and the client just tries to use the API to alter the data set, I think that's one case. And the other case is when the client tries to kind of modify the API endpoints just to kind of, in a little naive way, work with the resources that are representing the interfaces and not try to kind of accomplish the goal behind the interface. So I think from my perspective, if client tries to make modification to a data set just using the interface, it would work differently than client trying to naively kind of modify the resources which represent the interface to the data set. I don't know if I can explain it, but maybe with some more examples later on GitHub, I could follow up on this topic.
And do you think the client should look at this as a data set, or should it look at it as a, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a service?
So, for example, if we have depends what kind of vocabulary we kind of rely on. So if the client wants to add a statement to a data set that, for example, I like some video, that would be one of the things that the client would try to discover how to perform this kind of operation. The other thing, if there would be, some, for example, some vocabulary of actions, and the client will look for the like action and then just follow the hypermedia kind of controls to be able to perform this action. So I'm not sure how kind of, I think it depends a lot on what vocabulary we kind of take as a shared knowledge between the client and the services.
Yeah, maybe this actually doesn't really matter for Hydra itself, but more for like the vocabularies an API is built on apart from Hydra.
Yeah, so, I agree. I think once we have a few different use cases, we can then see what Hydra needs to address and what kind of, you know, out of scope of Hydra is more like orthogonal.
Yeah. Carol?
I think it's not for the Hydra to decide. I think both data set and interface interactions are agnostic from the client point of view. I think the client should get the details on what it can do, and that's it. It shouldn't matter to the client whether it's interacting with the data set or with the interface. Actually, in both cases, it will be an interface, I think. Some kind of a REST API. It shouldn't matter whether it's a triple store underneath or something else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So in this case, the client, what kind of hypermedia control the client would look for? Because I think if we say, okay, this resource represents collection of all the videos I like, and then I want to kind of add a member to this collection, that's kind of one of the way of what clients may try to look for, but maybe also client just wants to create a like relationships between two different resources. Or maybe there's a kind of like action, like we have the more basic operations. Maybe there's a like defined like schema.org like action, and maybe the client would be looking which thing kind of advertises this kind of affordance to like it. So again, for me, it really highly seems to depend on what the common part that the client and the services understand, and what we kind of like rely on a shared understanding.
I guess one interesting exercise would be to take the APIs like meetup.com, Jira, etc. that we analyzed and see how we would describe this with Hydra and schema.org or some other vocabulary, and see if we can describe their interfaces in some way. I guess for the Vimeo one, that will be very difficult at the moment. The other ones, like the YouTube one, where there is playlist items, etc., that one would be way easier to describe, I think. Carol?
I think because adding some semantic actions like this like action, think it is optional, but it should be on top of the very basics of the RESTful API. So basic verbs like post, put, or possibly those extensions like link or unlink. I think it may depend on the client, because it may or may not understand those semantic actions. So I think we still should focus on the very basics rather than going with those advanced semantics.
So what is a post? Carol?
Yes, again, what is the post?
Yeah, like if we tell a client you can do a post on this resource, what does the client know? Like, how does it know what will happen if it posts?
Does it know what will happen?
Well, otherwise, it's very unsafe to do it, right? Like, you could order a car or something by posting.
Yes, but there is no... I think only the get is the safest one. Any other verb changes the state.
Yeah, that's true. But then it's, you know, the client can't do much. You can just build a crawler.
Yeah, but I'm just worried that if you introduce those semantic actions like, or I don't know, subscribe or something like this, you will end up with SOAP-like approach. We will address, I don't know, operations or named methods which client will need to understand. How do you provide this knowledge to the client? How will you force the client to understand this? You won't. You will have to hard code it.
Well, the client needs to understand two things. First, Hydra, and secondly, the vocabulary that is used by the API. If it just understands Hydra and like the basic HTTP protocol, you know, you can build a crawler but nothing else.
Yeah, but I think we are touching again the question, what kind of client are we going to develop? Is it going to be an artificial intelligence client that knows exactly what it wants to do? Or are we going to provide, let's say, a tool for developers to create their rich applications that are driven by the server? I think both scenarios have slightly different needs.
I think there is a middle ground. Like, you know, if you know the, like, schema.org, for instance, is a pretty well-known vocabulary. If you combine it with Hydra, you can do quite some stuff without knowing anything about the implementation of the API beforehand. So you could say, you know, go to this API, find me a product with this, like, I don't know, characteristics, and then order it. So I'm not saying the client should figure out, you know, from like natural language how to do that, but I could program it in a higher level of abstraction. So I tell him, find product where, I don't know, you know, the barcode is this number, and if the price is lower than X, execute
Marcus, are you there? I've lost you. So
I think it dropped out.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good to hear that, because I thought I actually was offline.
Public?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, I we can hear you.
Yes,
but
sorry,
I can't hear Marcus.
Yes, I also don't hear him. Let's give him maybe a minute. Maybe something happened to his mobile connection or something.
So while we wait, Carl, can you again describe what the issue is? Because I don't really follow. So given any API, well, you have the few HTTP verbs, and then some of the operations you would have to, you may have many operations more than there are the methods. So that's where you get the link relation operation type. I don't know, what the issue is here?
The issue I've got is that we already know from history, for instance, the SOAP approach, where you have actions described by some notion of an operation. These operations has names or parameters, etc., etc. I just feel that using semantic named actions, for instance, taken from the schema.org, there is only a few of them, but these are quite strong notions, like play action or trade action. I think we'll end up with something soapish.
But the difference from hypermedia and REST in the general sense from RPC isn't, you know, actions. This is what always Fielding would write, that having like verbs for resources, the issue isn't the verb itself. And it's not like you have RPC then. It's that it suggests RPC. But the thing is that the actual difference is in what the client expects. The actual difference from RPC is that RPC tries to mimic local calls. I mean, it tries to pretend that remote calls are local calls. You won't have it as long as you use the uniform interface and interact with resources using the common verb. So if you do a post to perform some action, and as a result, well, you modify the state, so be it. If you create a new resource, you get the link, you can follow. But the thing is that you don't pretend to be that the calls are local. You still expect failures. You expect one of the status codes. This doesn't change. So
no, it does. In the REST, the client knows the common ground, which is the protocol, the verbs, how to create the URI, how to craft the message, and that's it, and how to read the message. Now you will need to understand a little bit more, like this vocabulary of those action names.
But this is, you will always have some API specific vocabulary, or maybe some common vocabulary like schema. Otherwise, you will not be able to describe any possible functionality given only the few verbs and what else. This is not possible.
Yeah, the question is, what do you want to achieve? That was my question. Whether do we want to create a artificial intelligence client that understands quite a lot, or are we going to create a tool for APIs that are driven with hypermedia? But still, the user will, a human user will interact with those APIs, this or the other way.
Well, I would struggle for making the life of developers easier and worry about machine to machine later, because that's just science fiction still.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel that we don't need those semantic notions, those actions from an additional vocabulary for this very purpose. Just saying.
Okay, Pavlik wants to say something?
Yes, I just want to clarify. Do we want to support that different services will make different choices? So for example, one will choose to use, for example, patch or put, and the other service will decide to use post for the very same action. So for example, if we currently have in our use cases create action, do we want to support that one service will use put, one post, or one will use, for example, post for delete or something like that? Like, or we want to require that one action can only use across all the services one HTTP verb, and we kind of, you know, make it a kind of constant that for this action, all the services need to choose the same verb, or we want to just say we kind of couple to the semantics of the action, like create action, and then different services can use different HTTP verbs according to their requirements, and the client is just following the hypermedia controls, but it only bases discovery on the action itself and not the HTTP verb.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Wanted to say, like, using a vocabulary has nothing to do with artificial intelligence, right? Like, even if the vocabulary is not there, with whatever API you interact today, you kind of implicitly have a vocabulary. You just read some documentation and try as a developer to understand what those property names are good for.
Yeah, but still the end user that interacts with this API chooses what kind of action it needs to do. And I think he doesn't need this vocabulary in order to make an order or to subscribe to something.
Yes, that's true. But then whenever something, like, so what do you gain then? So if, like the server can't make any changes without breaking a client, because the client then is highly, like, really tightly coupled to the server, right?
I don't understand. Could you repeat that?
So if there's a developer which implements the HTTP requests as they're documented and then writes code and hard codes that, then the server can change anything because any change will break the client. If the client is written in a way that is on a higher level of abstraction, like find the product, buy that product, just by using like a well-defined vocabulary, then the server can make quite a lot of changes without breaking any client.
Hey, but how we will tell the client this notion that this is for that kind of action? I'm just worried that, okay, we'll now agree for the schema.org actions. There is 14 actions now, but these actions won't cover the whole spectrum the developer may need. It will end up with a vocabulary that need to be hard-coded.
Yes.
From the API point of view, I see no difference between a trade action or a transfer action. It will be some kind of HTTP verb used with some kind of resource transferred to an URI why do I need the trade action notion or a transfer action notion?
So the advantage of that is, if two APIs use the same vocabulary, you can use the same client for both of them, even though they may not use the same HTTP methods.
Yeah, but what if I want, a buy action? What if I want, complain action?
Yeah, that's indeed a problem.
And we can multiply this kind of needs. Each not very sophisticated requirement may end up with plenty of those custom actions created, because the business will flow with these kind of ideas. Give that kind of tool to the business and they will drive it crazy.
So what is your proposal then? We stick to post put whatever? And
I think it would be the safest. Of I understand that there are limitations. That's why we investigate those extensions like link or unlink or any other verb. What I think it's the safest ground. But it's limiting in some cases. We can always go with semantic actions later on top of a very basic Hydra. This is my thoughts on this.
Yeah, fair enough. So what would the developer gain by using Hydra?
A common ground provided by RDF. And extensibility, of course. Rubens?
Link data?
These triple pattern fragments. How these will benefit from those semantic actions? I think these won't, because it's more RDF-ish, sparklish domain.
No, it actually does. Like, it uses the find action or whatever, the search action, to do a search, like, regardless of whether it's a get or a post or whatever on each server.
But still, you can achieve the same with a proper, understanding of the classes of the resources that you need to put or post.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but maybe you're right.
Yeah, I'm just showing all the possibilities, because if we'll decide to go with this or the other route, we'll need to be consequent and to reach the end, the good or the bad.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, because we need to create something that will work. Which actually happens, of course. I did not have too much time to proceed with further use cases, but this we need to create something that actually works very very soon. And I think with basic HTTP verbs, it will be much easier to achieve, rather than going with some kind of semantics. I just doesn't feel this approach.
Yeah. Public, are you still here?
Yes, I'm just keep losing the IRC because laptop kind of overheats. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Still on the speaker queue.
I think it was from the previous time, but again, like, from my opinion, I would prefer not to like put semantics directly on HTTP verbs, because maybe different services would like to make different choices. And I think that if we have those basic actions, delete and so on, and those actions provide a way to explain to the client which HTTP operations it needs to perform, I think that kind of gives more flexibility for different services to make choices based on their requirements, while the client is still kind of only relying on understanding those basic operations and not kind of coupling with a particular choice of using HTTP verbs. Which again, if someone later wants to use other protocol, it may also make it easier to extend it.
Yeah, I feel we could continue discussing this forever, but like, since we don't really have like any concrete proposal on the table, or I don't know how this would affect anything at the moment, should we move on?
Yeah, I think we shouldn't expect to agree on something today. And myself, I kind of like the example of trying to see how the APIs we kind of analyzed could work using Hydra, and for me that seems like approachable exercise that can take us a little further to see with the current state of Hydra what we could kind of reproduce and what we seem to miss, and I think it's maybe smaller bite.
Yeah. Carol, you're on the queue.
I think we shall make an approach and try to implement something, and then we'll see how it behaves. We have those use cases. I think Pavlik extended the use cases with this collection related stuff. So let's just proceed with the implementation and see how it behaves, and then let's decide. Because now we are just discussing, and nothing happens.
I agree. So should we just continue working through the use cases and keep adding use cases if we discover something which isn't covered yet by the use cases? Or would you like to see an action item or something else that we should investigate further?
It's for me, it's Carol. From my perspective, just let's try to implement the use case as it is now. We can always add new use cases if something new appears. There is nothing against it. The more use cases, the better, maybe, because it gives a bigger picture.
Yeah. Others, so
let the needs drive our implementation. If we need something, let's do this, then we'll check if it behaves correctly to our expectations.
Any other opinions on this?
I'm not sure. Do you suggest, Carol, that we should try to add something to the Heracles client, like based on the use cases? Because I think the client is a little behind the use cases. So was that your suggestion, to try to add something to the client?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. That's why Heracles appeared. It's our battleground for creating implementation and taking the use cases into account. It's not only my property, it's a community's property. Indeed, currently I'm almost only a contributor, but it's free. You can grab the code and implement any use case you wish.
Tomáš, do you want to say anything on this, or should we continue with the next item on the agenda?
No, let's continue. I feel like, as you said, it's too open until we have some concrete, like, examples, use case, or I don't know, a possibility for trouble which we should avoid somehow. Otherwise, it's too vague.
Okay. Then let's move on to something more concrete, which is pull request 10. This is the link in IRC. So I had those two pull requests before, pull request 10 and pull request 12, which were using TSLint and Prettier to, first of all, lint the code and then automatically format the code if it doesn't follow the coding style that those rules define. Pavlik already reviewed the pull request and said, like, he gave his LGTM. I don't know if anyone else had the chance. So basically, Carol, Tomáš, if you had the chance to look at the pull request already and if you are fine with it or whether it needs further changes.
I haven't chance to take a look at this, but I'm okay with the pull request.
Sorry, what was the first part of the sentence? You have not.
I didn't have any chance to take a deeper look at this, but let's go ahead. Yeah. I don't like this kind of stuff. Waiting. It's not a revolution there.
I guess I agree. I mean, I haven't looked at it, but if it uses like most of the defaults for the format, I guess it's good to keep the code clean as soon as possible. And if there's any rule that bothers us, we can always tweak the settings.
Yeah, so it uses the defaults. The only thing I changed is the order of members of a class so that they match what Carol used, which is like statics first, public statics first, and publics, then private protected. Public protected private. Instead of having all statics and then all methods or whatever. So that's the only tweak I made. But like we can always change that later if something is not to our liking. So let me put a proposal to merge this pull request. Okie dokie. So that's resolved. So we'll merge this right after the meeting. This is already the end of our agenda. Is there anything else you guys would like to discuss today?
I would suggest that we can try to pick some small tasks on Heracles and see if in next 2 weeks we can make some pull requests. I would face the issue that you kind of extracted about the discovery of collections and collections with members of particular type. Maybe we could quickly, like in next 2-3 days, try to discuss it in this issue, and if we kind of agree on some direction, I could try to make a pull request after that.
Yeah, I feel, I don't know, like unless it's really a lot of work to implement something, it's way easier to just implement something so that we have something concrete to discuss and move from there instead of trying to discuss it first. But it's totally up to you, just a suggestion.
So maybe I'll just invite whoever wants to make some comments on this issue next few days, and then towards next weekend, I will try to implement something. So it would just kind of save me some time if we already kind of can at least know what we would not agree on. But again, I can also just give it a try.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good to me. Like, yeah, let's do it that way. But don't feel blocked if you don't get a lot of comments on this issue beforehand.
Okay.
Carol?
That's why the use cases are created. Just pick one, try to implement, let's discuss, merge, proceed.
Exactly. All right. If there is nothing else, thank you very much. And thank you very much, Carol, for scribing. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you.